Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. If you would and you want to follow along, please turn to Psalm number 40, the 40th Psalm. I have got just about every line of this psalm underlined in my Bible, but I'm only going to read verses 9 and 10 for a start. Psalms 40, verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Let's read verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. I'm going to stop there. I want to read you something Scott Richardson wrote, so you know it's good. Scott was away. I mean, I still get tickled when I think about what he wrote there. He said, whenever they hear me preach, they say it sounds like an old-time preacher. He says, well, I am, you know. He was. But that doesn't make it not good. That's the problem with the world. They think old-time means backward. No, it's not backward. Well, it shouldn't be, put it that way. Sometimes maybe it is, and that's where they get it from. But this is what he wrote. The believer is perfect in Christ, but in himself is a poor, feeble creature, ever liable to fall. Oh, the blessedness of having one who can manage all his affairs for him at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. One who upholds him continually by the right hand of his righteousness. One who will never let him go. One who is able to save to the uttermost. One who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One who will bear him triumphantly through all the difficulties and dangers that surround him and finally present him faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Blessed forever be the grace that has made such ample provision for all our sins in the blood of the spotless victim and the intercession of a divine priest. I like that, I do. Now the title of my message is I Have Preached Righteousness, which is the first four words there of verse 9. And I want to preach righteousness today to you and to myself. I like using this statement. In the interest of full disclosure, I must tell you that I need righteousness as much as you do. I know a lot of people seem to preach like they don't have any problems and they don't have any shortcomings. I've got plenty. So do they, but they act like they don't. I'm not going to preach your righteousness, and I'm not going to preach my righteousness. But if you are a believer, I'm going to do my best to tell you of your righteousness. But that'll come later. Now, I'm not going to keep you long, and I fully affirm right now that I am not going to get terribly theological. And I'm not going to have to. Because David right here, this is a Psalm of David. David right here wrote a couple of verses here explaining righteousness better than any theologian has. Now this is a messianic psalm and a psalm concerning the people of God. That'll come out. But he starts with these four words in this ninth verse. I have preached righteousness. Now if you back up to verse 6, it says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and offering, sin offering hast thou not required. So you want to know what that's telling us? I have preached righteousness is not the preaching of burnt offerings and sin offerings, although they were necessary. I mean, don't get me wrong. In the days of David, sacrifices and offering were made, and rightly so. However, the sacrifices and the offerings were because of offenses. David said, I've preached righteousness. The sacrifice and offering is not what he preached. And I'll tell you this right now. David didn't write here, I have preached law. Now the law is righteous. The law is holy, just and good, the commandment. But that's not what David preached. David said, I preach righteousness. And this is also the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we'll see. Well, here. Verse 7 says this. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, what? Thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness. Those are the words of Christ. Paul wrote that, quoted that verse in Hebrews, talking about Christ. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Amen. So these are, I'll tell you this right now. These are the words of David. These are the words of Christ. These are the words of the Lord himself. The Lord's, I have preached righteousness. He didn't preach the law. He didn't preach burnt offerings. He didn't preach sacrifices. And he didn't preach works either. Not yours or mine. Not yours or mine. I have preached righteousness. The rightness, the perfection of the Lord. And that the Lord demands. Because the Lord demands righteousness. And I have preached righteousness. The Lord himself is righteous. The Lord himself is righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ is called the righteous. The righteous. It's in 1 John 2 and verse 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, and if you want to put in when any man sin, I don't have a problem with that. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And who is it? Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous. Oh, my. David preached the Lord's righteousness. Jesus Christ preached the Lord's righteousness. And I am going to endeavor to preach the Lord's righteousness. But then he says these three words in the great congregation. In the great congregation. Where is righteousness preached? In the congregation. Righteousness is to be preached wherever the people of God are. Where they are gathered. God's people are the great congregation. Not because God's people are great. No, it's because God is great. And he has promised us Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, I like that. I do. And righteousness is to be preached. Jesus Christ himself read the scripture and preached from it in the synagogue, in the gathering. He read the scripture and told them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. On one particular occasion, he said he preached the gospel to the poor. Now, how he did it seems to confound some people, because he did speak to them in parables. And he told us why he spoke to them in parables. And it's the exact opposite of what most people think. People think he spoke in parables so that all might understand. I've heard him say that again and again and again. And yet, what do the scriptures say? He spoke in parables so that some would not understand. Look it up. It's in Matthew chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. I'm not going to read it. He told his disciples, to you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He didn't stop there. He said, but to them, it is not given. Not given. But smile, God loves you. Isn't that what? No, that's something else people say that ain't necessarily so. Jesus preached righteousness in the great congregation. And David said these words, wrote these words, I have not refrained my lips. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation, and I have not refrained my lips. What do we hear from some? I can't preach that. Now, usually they're talking about election, but it goes just as well for God's righteousness. Amen. That's right. It goes just as well for the righteousness of Christ. I can't preach that. And I've heard that. My people won't understand it. Actually, I think, now this is just me thinking here, they're more afraid they will understand it. Because some of them will say, I can't preach that. That'll split my church. Don't worry. It will not split God's church. Amen. That's right. The truth has never split God's church. If there's any error, if there's any problem, it's not with this word. It's not with the truth of God in Jesus Christ. It's with us. It always has been. God's children love the truth and hate the lie. Hate the lie. Walter, I've gotten to the point where I don't even like sugarcoating. You don't have to be nice. Just what does the Word of God say? I have preached righteousness in the great congregation, and I have not refrained what? My lips. My lips. What did Isaiah say? Woe is unto me. I'm a man of unclean lips. But not only that, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And God took that coal and put it right up against his lips. Had the angel do it. But do you know what comes to mind when I read this, where it says, I've not refrained my lips? I think of the Apostle Paul talking to those Ephesian elders. I'm not going to turn to it. But he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What was that? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord, Jesus Christ. All the counsel. Whatever God has taught you in his word, speak. Whatever God's word says, speak. Amen. Now, I said it last week. Think before you speak and read before you think. But don't refrain your lips from the truth of God. Amen. There's no need to. What's it say? Oh, Lord, Thou knowest. God knows what David did, and he knows what Christ has done. What did he say? Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Verses 7 and 8. Not only that, I delight to do thy will. And it's the will of God that righteousness be preached, the truth be preached, unadulterated and unrefrained. Burn offering and sin offering thou hast not required. No. But the preaching of righteousness is required. Verse 10 says this, and this is a wonderful statement. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. You understand, God's not worried about people hiding nonsense from the people, about refraining to speak silly things. He doesn't want you to refrain from speaking the truth. Do not refrain your lips from the truth. Understand? It says, I have not hid thy righteousness. Is that David or is that Christ? And I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. Because Christ certainly didn't hide the righteousness of God. And David wrote it right here. David wrote it right here. And I'm going to tell you this. You or I cannot hide the righteousness of God. I'm not even going to try, but you can't hide it. It is beyond the power of man to hide his righteousness. But some try. Because for some, the righteousness of God is not hidden, it's avoided. For some, the righteousness of God is not disguised, it's actually denied. And for some, the righteousness of God is not spoken, and when it is, it's distorted. But God's children, God's people, do not hide his righteousness, and man, the natural man, hates his righteousness. And here's what David said in this verse, because here where we started is, I have not hid the righteousness within my heart. The reason David starts there, well, all four of these things, five of these things, are all related. But I have not hid thy righteousness. What do you say? I have declared thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness is just as strong and just the same as his righteousness. Understand? Thy faithfulness, thy salvation. God's salvation. And it is God's salvation. His salvation, thy salvation, is based upon his righteousness. God will not be unrighteous in salvation as he would be in anything else. He's unrighteous in nothing. And God's loving kindness is based upon still his righteousness. There is no loving kindness. There is no truth without the righteousness of God. It's not your righteousness, it's the Lord's righteousness. It's not man's righteousness at all. Because man's righteousness is of no value. Not saying he doesn't have it. What I'm saying, what man has is filthy rags in the sight of God. Man has a righteousness. And man's very proud of his own righteousness. Paul wrote of his brethren going about to establish their own righteousness. Amen. And have not what? Submitted themselves to the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Matter of fact, there are many garments of salvation that have been given to the child of God, but it states it very clearly, there is only one robe of righteousness that we have been clothed in. Mac, you and I have on the same robe. If we have the robe of righteousness, you've got the same robe as David had.
Amen.
There's only one robe of righteousness. There's only one robe of righteousness. There's only one faithfulness. He is the author and the finisher of faith.
Amen.
And I particularly leave out that word. It says our faith. It's in italics. No matter whose faith. He's the author and the finisher of faith, true faith. His faith is all. His faithfulness is just as faithful as his righteousness. I like that. Thy loving kindness, his mercy and his grace to his people, the sheep of his pasture, his love and kindness in giving all things, working together for good to them that love God. That's loving kindness. And it's all based upon his righteousness and his truth. His truth is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto God except by him. Him. Because thy righteousness is a person. Thy faithfulness is a person. Thy salvation is a person. Thy loving kindness is a person. And thy truth is a person. And I'm going to tell you right now, that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got scripture for that. I told you I was going to tell you about your righteousness. I am. Here it is. In the scriptures, written by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. If you want to, you can turn there. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
This scripture starts with those eight gracious words, glorious words, but of him. Okay, what's that mean? Not of you. It's of him. Now, who's the him? Back up for just a second to verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Oh, there we are. To confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world. There we are again. To confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world. You know, this just really doesn't sound real favorable toward us. Well, in and of ourselves, we're not. Oh, but in him. And things which are despised hath God chosen, and yea, things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So we have God, but God hath God chosen in his presence. So but of him is God. So if you want to read it this way, but of God are ye in Christ Jesus. Oh my. You're not in Christ Jesus because of yourself. It is completely and totally of God that you are in Christ Jesus. I have preached righteousness.
Amen.
Not your righteousness, but his. And, wait a minute though. See, he didn't stop there. It is completely and totally of God that you're in Christ Jesus. And if anybody says anything different, it's a lie. It's a lie. And what are they doing? They're not preaching righteousness. I can tell you that right now. If they try to add man's righteousness to God's righteousness, They're not preaching righteousness. Because that statement all by itself is full of grace and truth. But Paul continues, Christ Jesus is of God made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Walter, there is imputed righteousness and there is imparted righteousness. God has made him unto you your righteousness. Oh, I like that. We are not to establish our own righteousness. We don't have to. Believers don't have to. Believers have been given the righteousness of Christ, and they've been given it by God. Why? Because they have been given Him by God. And it's by God they are in Him. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He is all we need. All we need. And to preach Jesus Christ is to preach righteousness. Or it's another gospel, which is not another. He is made unto us by God wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And by God, we're in Him. Now, yes, there are things we will do. We will hear His gospel and we'll believe it. We will. And it says, come to Christ. And you will. After He finds you. When He finds you and shows you just a bit of the sinner you are and of the righteousness you don't have, you'll come to Him. Amen. Just as He said, come unto me, all you are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And yes, I believe that just as much as you must be born again. Why? Because both things are true. Why? Christ spoke them both. It's impossible for Him to lie. Because of God are ye in Christ Jesus. And I'm here to tell you that this morning. It doesn't get any better than that. It does not get any better than that than to be in Christ. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter that you maybe just had surgery.